Proverbs chapter 25. And I want to speak tonight on another object in the book of Proverbs, on dross. I want you to think with me just for a moment as we look at two verses in the book of Proverbs on the subject of dross, or the object of dross. What is it? Here it is in the Bible. Look at verse 4 of chapter 25. Take away the, you tell me, dross, underscore the word, from the silver, and there shall come forth a vessel for the finer. Ah, the refiner's fire. We're going to talk about that tonight. Now turn over, if you would, to chapter 26. Here's the second time and last time this verse is found in the book of Proverbs. Probably just a page from where you're at. Burning lips and a wicked heart are like a potsherd covered with silver, you tell me, dross. So here's our two verses. What in the world are they going to teach us? Well, not only do they teach us some great lessons and some great principles to live by, but they clarify why David, Isaiah, and Ezekiel also talked about it and used this word dross. Not found in the New Testament, but found many times in the Old Testament. And every time, I've already read all those passages, every time in the context of those passages, some entire chapters, it is dealing with the sin of God's people and how God wants to purify them and draw out of them that sin. He's going to work on their behalf, even if he has to send judgment or some fiery trial. He puts them in the smelting pot and lights a fire underneath them, and the dross, or their sin, comes to the top. And then he deals with it. And so it is a beautiful picture of this. God loves us as his children so much that he will not leave us alone when we live in sin. He will continue to prod our hearts and prick our consciences and do a work trying to get us to see our wrong, or to see our imperfections or our impurities that we have in the flesh. And we have to deal with it. And so dross is important. Let me give you some definitions so that you'll understand what dross is. Dross is the scum or waste matter that forms on the surface of molten metal. In our text, it refers to the work of the refiner. As he heats up the silver and the impurities begin to come to the top, the scum is then skimmed off by the refiner and thrown away, leaving the silver in a pure state. So God, who is a refining fire himself, deals with our impurities, our imperfections, and he brings them to the top and skims them off our life, and he shows them to us so that we can ask for forgiveness and ask for a purified heart and a clean conscience before God and clean hands, as David referred to so many times. Another thing that dross is, it's something that once it's skimmed off, it's regarded as worthless. And that's what sin is. It's worthless. It can't be used for any good thing. There's no good thing in our flesh. There's no good thing in it. By the way, this word dross is translated in our Bibles, rubbish, the dregs of something of the aftermath, material waste. Another thing I'd like to mention to you is that dross is a picture of our personal impurities. And those impurities move God, because he loves us, moves God to draw them out of us. And sometimes he has to turn up the fire. Sometimes he has to put us at Zarephath. Zarephath was the smelting pot of the Middle East. And it was Elijah that went to Zarephath, and that was his fire. And God had to deal with him in a special way. And everyone has a Zarephath. And it's important for us to recognize when we are there, when we are being refined. Now, everybody's not listening tonight, and I want everybody listening, all right, so that you'll be able to get this. All right, it's not time to laugh and talk and whisper. I want you to get what the Lord has for you. Dross is a picture of our impurities. If we're not careful, we'll miss how God works to draw them out. Our heart is much like a piece of silver when our selfishness and stinking thinking and sin infiltrates our heart, our mind, and our life. We are filled with spiritual dross that needs to be drawn out. When Christ infiltrates our heart, our mind, and our lives on a daily basis, and God is in control and He's on the throne, then everything that we do becomes blessed of God. Our motives are pure. Our objective is pure. Our intention is pure. Our purpose is pure. We don't have any ulterior motives. We're not trying to get something out for self. And so it's important that when selfishness is in our life, God comes and He deals with us in many, many different ways. Now, here's the problem. The problem is sin. And sin is in our DNA. And by the way, I sat down at my desk this week and I said, you know, what does DNA stand for? I think it could stand for depraved nature that's an abomination to God. It's in our DNA. We're born with sin. And so here we are having to deal with our sin. We have to deal with our sin on a daily basis. Sin adds up. And as sin adds up in our life, the results is not good. I don't have time tonight to take you to Isaiah. But recently I preached from Isaiah chapter 1 a couple of months ago. And I brought out the sins of Judah and how God dealt with their sins as dross. And in that chapter, we didn't get far enough deep into the chapter in the message that I preached from the paragraph that I preached. But by the time you get to the end of that chapter, you get to the dross that God is dealing with. He calls it that. He reveals the dross. He even said, you are so backslidden that you're coming to the temple and you're giving your offerings and you're praying. No, I disregard all that. It is dross. It is rubbish. Because your heart's not right. And He deals at the end of that chapter with the dross. And He says, I look at you as silver that has become dross, He told them. Thy princesses, in other words, their leaders, are rebellious. They're companions to thieves. Their political system stunk. Their religious system stunk. They turn to idols. They turn to the power of man. And Isaiah is dealing with that and calls it dross. And when you really read the entire chapter, and I challenge you to do so, you'll find that God deals with them because He wants them to become pure. And I will turn my hand upon thee and purely purge away thy dross, He says in verse 25 of chapter 1 of the book of Isaiah. And take away all thy tin. I'll get rid of the superficial. It's important for us. Malachi chapter 3, he does the same thing. He talks about the refining fire and how God heats our lives up sometimes to purify us. Why? Because one day, in Malachi, it's even referring to the millennial kingdom one day. But in Malachi, you'll stand before God one day. And there's a New Testament principle. You and I will stand before Him one day. It's called, if you're saved, it's called the Bema Judgment. And the Bible clearly says that we'll all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And every man's work shall be tried or manifest. For the day will declare it. And it shall be revealed by fire, the Bible says. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And any man's work, abide which is built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. And it goes and talks about the difference between wood, hay, and stubble, gold, silver, and precious stones. And many people will get to the judgment seat of Christ, and because of their motive and because of the dross in their life that they never fixed, all that goes up in smoke. And here's what the Bible says. If a man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. Speaking of the rewards at that time. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by
fire. So if you do not think that God deals with man with fire, even at the judgment seat of Christ, there will be fire. It's really sobering when you look at it. When you think about David and how he confessed his sins, he wanted to be so right with God, creating me a clean heart, restoring me the joy of thy salvation. Why? His ultimate goal was he had learned such a lesson. He even confessed in that psalm, if you read it carefully, you'll hear him say that I might teach sinners and transgressors their ways. Not that you have to experience sin to be a good teacher against it. But it changed David. He knew that he had to get all the dross out of his heart. He had to get rid of all of it. So that brings us down to two verses and two thoughts that I want to leave with you tonight. Let's take the last one first. Go to chapter 26. You should be there, probably. Verse 23. Burning lips and a wicked heart are like a parched covered with silver dross. Burning lips. This refers to the silver tongue. It's a reference to a smooth talker. Isaiah said that Israel came to a point in their lives where they wanted him to speak smooth things to them. And that's what these burning lips is a reference to. It's those that are motivated by self-gain. Their heart's not right. Matter of fact, look what it's linked to. It's linked to a wicked heart. They are like a broken piece of pottery. Might have a little piece of silver on the outside, but it's good for nothing. It's waste. It's nothing but a waste. Burning lips speaks words that are sugar-coated and with insincere accolades that seeks to loose the lips of others, sometimes to pry out information, to gain some kind of information. And that's what burning lips are. You should not have burning lips, because burning lips and a wicked heart are linked together in this passage. And so when we stick our nose in someone's business too deep, we try to, with nice words, win them over so that we can have an ulterior motive to get information out of them. That is wicked. That's how you destroy relationships. That's how chief friends becomes enemies before it's over with. A wicked heart is a description of the inner man without a clear or clean conscience before God. He has an evil heart that is bent on mischief, misery. It is wretched, vexed. And a wicked heart is full of trouble. So if you have burning lips, you're guaranteed to have a wicked heart. And wise people who are discerners, they do not want to get mixed up with people who have burning lips and a wicked heart. They see it. And then that last phrase, a potsherd covered with silver dross, nothing more than a piece of earthenware that's good for nothing. Oh, it may have some silver dross on it, but it's not a vessel meet for the master's use. It's not a vessel that God can use. It's broken. It does not function properly anymore. Burning lips, a wicked heart. I read four commentators about this verse, and I loved what Barnes said best. And he begins quoting, and he's using a little sarcasm here. Quote sometimes means, I want you to get this. He calls it this, he says it this way. Lips glowing with affection, uttering warm words of empty love, joined with a malignant heart, are like a piece of broken earthenware from the furnace, which glitters with the silver drops that stick to it, but it of itself is worthless. That's what he had to say about the broken piece of pottery. That's why you cannot tolerate dross. I cannot tolerate sin in our lives. We can't do that. Sin leads to a self-controlled life instead of a spirit-controlled life, as New Testament believers should live. The flesh controls our mind. We'll think wrong things. The flesh sears our conscience. Paul warned young Timothy about it, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. That's what happens. Let me say something about the conscience. I prepared two messages about a year and a half ago on the conscience, but I never preached them. Maybe perhaps I'll go back and preach them. But I did some reading back then about the conscience. Let me tell you how your conscience works. God did not give you a conscience to give you an attaboy, to pat you on the back. Your conscience never tells you you did right. Your conscience tells you you did wrong. And God made your conscience that way. And here's what has happened in our culture in which we live. And it's not new. I mean, read the Bible carefully. You'll see thousands of years ago, men were saying things that are righteous are unrighteous. And that their unrighteousness is righteous. Men has been mixing up truth since the beginning of time. And here's what happens. Now, I want you to listen to me. This was not in the notes, but I want to help you with this. Your conscience is given to you to tell you that you're doing wrong. When we pay no attention to our conscience, then the next time God uses our conscience to deal with us in our sin, we have dulled our hearing. It's a New Testament term. Seared consciences produce dull hearing. And here's what we do. We finally laugh at our conscience. We mock our conscience. We pay no attention to our conscience. And finally, our conscience stops speaking to us. And now what was used to be considered sin and wrong, a pass is given. And I know many Christians who started out right, believing that sin is always sin. But their conscience got seared and their hearing got dulled. And the very thing that God put within you to help you is thrown away. You don't hear your conscience. Why do you think that we're in America wanting men to wake up one day and feel like they're a woman and go into the bathroom with our little girls? Conscience! Are you with me? America has no conscience. There is no conscience in America. Morally, ethically, you can run for president and be a criminal. A lawbreaker. I want to tell you something. When you let dross hang around, you're messing up your life. And I'll tell you something else you're doing. You let dross hang around, and you're going to mess up your children's lives. Because that's what happens. See, here's dross. When you look at someone and say, you know, they're on their third marriage, and they seem to be very happy. Maybe it's going to take three for me. I want to tell you something. That's dross. That's dross. That's sin. Where's your conscience? Did you make a vow? Where's your conscience about truth? Where's your conscience in regards to the Bible? You better be ready to give up a whole bunch of stuff if you believe that. Dross. It ought to invoke some righteous indignation in your heart. Dross. It sears the conscience of man. That's why you say something like this. I would have never believed she would have done that. I can't believe he did that. You said it about people that you had respect for. Set you back. When you can't hear your conscience, you're well nigh gone. It's done. It's over. And that affects your will, your mind, your conscience, your heart, your will. Will is where you make your choices. You'll make the wrong choices. Gets into your emotions. It can cause you to get out of whack. Controls your actions, what you believe. Sin. That's what dross does. It leads to a miserable lifestyle with no direction whatsoever. It causes you to think that life is better on the other side when it's really not. James even teaches us that sin leads us to death, spiritually and physically. It's a serious issue that we have in our country today. And it's here in our families. It's in our church. At best, we're all a bunch of humanists. We've been brainwashed by it. If we don't retrain our mind with the Word of God, we're going to be in trouble. But there's many positives, if I could take and pull this bag inside out for a moment. And that is, if we take away the dross, there's a lot of good things. It cleans us up. Cleans up our minds and our hearts. We're able to think right. It controls our mouth. We do not have burning lips. Because our heart's right. We don't have an ulterior motive. He controls our choices. The choice of our will becomes His choice. We find His purpose. He orders our steps. He controls our outlook. Who would not want that? We live in such an uncertain world. And let me tell you something. If you had a bank full of money, you'd still just be as unsettled about all this as you could be. Because money's not going to give you peace. Money's not the answer to your problem. Christ is the answer. Now go back to verse 25, and I know I've only got a minute or two here. And notice with me the desire to take away the dross. Now that I have created, I hope, a hatred for it in your mind, and I hope I have stimulated your thinking process enough that has stirred up your conscience so that you'll be able to see when Satan's trying to tempt you away from truth. Now look at verse 4. Take away the dross from the silver, and there shall come forth a vessel for the finer. Wow. First of all, I want you to know there has to be resolve in your heart to do it. You can't take away the dross if you do not have resolve in your heart to do it. We must be willing to let the refiner's fire do its work. We may have to go through a very difficult time. We must be willing to allow the Lord to take away any personal dross. Sometimes dross is not sin. Sometimes it could be something good for us. But God chooses to burn it out of our lives, to take it out of our lives. For whatever reason. He's God. He's sovereign. And if we will resolve, if we do the front part of this verse, notice the reward after the resolve. Notice the reward that comes from the resolve. And there shall come forth a vessel for the finer. I wish we had time to deal with the context of this paragraph. Do you know it's speaking about the political leaders of Solomon's day? When you really look at it in its context, it's all about the choices of the leaders, the politicians of his day. Matter of fact, if you look at verse 5, let me just whet your appetite and you can study it more on your own. Take away the wicked from the king. In other words, get his wicked advisors away from him. And what will the king do? Notice what it says. And his throne shall be established in righteousness. Get those wicked, burning lip people away from him and give him some good counselors. Wise is the leader that can see his weaknesses, realize his blind spots, and gets people behind him and around him that can help him with it. But see, we do not have people who think that way anymore. They want to know what's in it for me. That is so, so sad. In the New Testament, Paul pictures us as vessels. We can be either vessels to unrighteousness, or we can be vessels to righteousness. We can either be honorable or dishonorable. I wish I had time to preach from 2 Timothy chapter 2. It talks about vessels of gold and silver, and it talks about vessels of wood and earth. And some of those vessels, common people, salt of the earth, they're honorable vessels. And some of those vessels that are of the earth or of precious metals, they're dishonorable. And the church has both of them. Your workplace has, they would have both of them. You'll find them. Mack Lynch said it best in his song that he wrote back in 1953. O Lord, we pray thy will be done. O Master, here am I. We pray you do a mighty work, that to the flesh we die. And when the answer comes to us in form of trial and test, we fail to see your loving hand refining fire is best. God's refining fire. God's refining fire. How do you respond when God tries to burn the dross out of your life? How do you respond when God confronts you in your conscience about your sin? Have you passed it off? That's how a good daddy can go from being a godly daddy to a good daddy to being a very carnal daddy. Because he loses his conscience. And when he loses his conscience, he doesn't have any moral or ethical bearings. So, just took a short time and the internet ruined him. Just took a short time and it ruined the wife in the workplace. Didn't take long. Seared the conscience. Didn't take long at school. Got in trouble. Has to come home from college because he can't keep the college rules. Didn't take long. It's a matter of conscience. So how do we deal with ourselves when God deals with our conscience? When he tries to make us a vessel unto honor. May the Lord help us. May the Lord help us to take such simple thoughts as this about dross. Of all things in the Bible, dross. Please don't throw it to the side. Let it sit deep into your heart. Let it change you. Let it help you help your children. May it help you be a better parent, a better wife, a better husband, a better teenager, a better worker, a better college student. May it help us. Burning lips and a wicked heart go together. It's not long before you'll be put in a category. And I just happen to believe that God used the term burning lips in this chapter to help us understand. If you want to have burning lips, I'm going to burn you for it. Got to learn what to say and how to say it. It's so important. Simple thoughts. Would you stand with me, please?